Our Father and our God, we thank you. Most gracious God, we adore you. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your steadfast love concerning us. If we stand here from now till tomorrow, giving thanks, it will not be enough. If we count all the love and the benefits we have enjoyed, we are not better than those that slept and could not wake. Neither are we better than those that even woke up, but right now they've rushed them to the hospital. We slept, we woke up, and we are in your presence to worship you. What a privilege. We are not taking this privilege for granted. That is why we are appreciating you, Lord. Father, accept our thanks in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we have gathered here this morning to fulfill our duty. All over the world, your children will be gathering to appreciate you, to worship you. Father, we ask that you will honor our worship this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Our brethren that are still on their way coming, or those that will be joining us, Father, we pray that you grant them grace to be part of this service in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we have come with expectation, various expectations. We are sure and we are persuaded that you will grant all our heart's desires in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray in today's service, O Lord, that there shall be healings, there shall be deliverance, there shall be restoration, there shall be revival, there shall be upliftment, there shall be restoration of lost glory in the name of Jesus Christ. We also pray that there shall be illumination and revelation of your word in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray that you honor our worship and bless our service in the name of Jesus Christ. Reveal yourself much more through our study in the name of Jesus Christ. Every section of this service, oh Lord, we pray that you manifest yourself through it in the name of Jesus Christ. That before the close of today's service, each and every one of us will have a definite encounter with you. For in Jesus' most powerful name, we pray. For in Jesus' most glorious name, we pray. Put your hands together for the Lord. You may be seated. You are welcome to this glorious service of the Lord. And as you have come, the Lord will fulfill his purpose in your life in the name of Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful and a special service. That is why the seating arrangement will be different from what it used to be. Today's service is a special one. The couples will be sitting down next to each other. So if you are single, make sure you are not sitting down where it is reserved for the couples. It's a special service. The Lord will speak to our hearts today in the name of Jesus Christ. So without wasting much time, we'll be going straight into today's study, Bible study. Our Sunday school. Let's minimize distractions. Let us be focused, because we are in a very important segment, the study of the Word of God. We want to study Bible study, the deep things of the law. They are in the world, and we are to search it out. And it is through study we are able to bring out his secrets so that we can have better relationship with him. And we pray this morning that the Lord will open our eyes of understanding to understand the mysteries of his word in the name of Jesus Christ. So, today's topic, item, is titled Intimacy with God. It's on the screen. Intimacy with God. Intimacy with God. Intimacy is a popular or a common word that always comes to bear anytime you talk of relationship. And it is not a coincidence that today the Lord, you know, by this sitting arrangement, you know that the Lord wants to speak to us about relationship. Intimacy is a term that is used to describe relationship between two people. It has to do with close. There's always a relationship, you know, between, it could be opposite sex, it could be friends, colleagues, even God and his children. That is relationship. When this relationship gets close, very strong and deep, the word that is used is intimacy. Say, oh, they are intimate friends. I mean, they are close friends. They love each other. They know their secrets. They don't hide anything from each other. Their friendship is so intimate. So it's a common one. It's not a mystery. It's not a strange word. Intimacy. It has to do with a deep relationship between two people or two groups of people. Deep. It has gone beyond ordinary relationship. There are things, the deep secrets that the two parties or the two groups share in common. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Please, we are going somewhere. That is the meaning of intimacy. Now, we are now, like I said, different relationships. Man to woman, even friends, colleagues, acquaintances. Relationship occurs even in the church. Relationship between brethren. Relationship among ministers. And the relationship with God. So intimacy with God. When God created man, his desire, the main reason why he created man was not just to have ordinary relationship with man, just to create man, and this is just my son. The main reason why God created man, one of the reasons, is intimacy. So in the beginning, what God desired or designed for man was intimacy. That was when he said, let us create man in our own image. Remember, before he created man, he has already created the angels. Now he created man for intimacy. Now divine intimacy, a strong, a deep relationship between two parties or two people. In the case of God, the intimacy that God was looking at, it is not an ordinary relationship. It is intimacy that is what characterized that. When you see the relationship, this is what you see in that relationship. Love. God created man so that they will love him and worship him. Love is one of the ingredients that characterize the relationship that God has with his children. A relationship that is characterized by love. Love must be present. When you say there is intimacy, there must be love. And secondly, knowledge, devotion, and trust in him. The kind of relationship that God had with his children or designed for his children is a deep relationship wherein you will see love, the knowledge of him, and devotion to him, and also trust, absolute trust in him. That was his design for man. And that was what he had when he created Adam and Eve. That was why you will see him coming to them in the cool of the day. The relationship was so smooth, was so fantastic, was so thrilling, exciting. And there was nothing lacking. Everything was what? Beautiful. The man and the woman, they were enjoying that intimacy. They were enjoying what? The intimacy with God. But Satan coveted it. Satan will not allow that intimacy because he remember what he did in heaven before he was cast down. He wants to be like God. The same thing. He didn't want that intimacy to last. What did he do? He knew what he would do to scatter it. And through sin, that intimacy, that bond, that close and deep relationship was what? Was destroyed. Because the word given to him must be kept in obedience. The man must trust the word given to him. Remember, I said there must be trust. It is the lack of trust or faith in what God has told Adam or the children that made them to listen to another vessel. Please follow me. God, thank God we are looking at today, so much will be spoken concerning marriage. And I thank God that this study is coming at a time like this. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There was no trust. The trust was betrayed. God expects him to trust the word he has given to him. Thou shalt not eat this. In the day you eat this, you shall die. The man and the woman are supposed to hold the word of God tenaciously, faithfully, in obedience. But trust was missing and intimacy was destroyed. And it happens in relationship today. Every relationship begins with trust. The moment trust is lacking, that relationship begins to crumble. Am I communicating? So, the relationship, the intimacy was what? Was lost. Let's read Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. It was a personal relationship. Let's read Genesis chapter 3. There was intimacy. That's what I want to establish. And they had not only Adam, the two of them, children of God there. They, like I said, it was a personal. It must be personal. And they heard the voice of the Lord, God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, as usual. That was how he has been coming, to relate with them. The bond relationship was strong. And Adam and his wife, he themselves, sin has entered here. That was why they were now hiding from the presence of the Lord, from the center of the Lord God, among the trees and the garden. Now let's read to verse. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Let's read verse 13. My emphasis on verse 13 is that it was not only the man that God addressed. And he also spoke direct communication, not through another vessel. Personal relationship. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. The emphasis is that God related with both of them. Not that Adam was erring. Not that Eve was erring from. God spoke to her too. It was a personal relationship. Are we together? Are we together? Now, the relationship, that intimacy was lost. It was lost. God departed from them. God departed from them. But God desire, nobody can defeat the purpose of God. The desire of God is to have intimacy with his children. He cherishes that fellowship. He cherishes that communion. He longs for it. He desires it. He wants it and nothing can stop it. And immediately it happened, God, even before he knew that it will happen, has already what? Made a plan to arrest the situation. So what happened? The process of restoring that intimacy, the process of restoring that intimacy began. And that restoration of that intimacy, that is the reason why Jesus Christ came, to restore that fellowship, to restore that relationship. But that was the plan of God. It's not a God that does things anyhow. He set his programs. He has his agenda, and he has his program, what he does per time. Praise the Lord. So, how did he begin the process of his restoration of that intimacy? The process of restoring that intimacy began with Abraham. Remember, after the sin, you know, wickedness all over the whole earth. The flood came, men were destroyed, the Spirit of God said he could no longer strive with man, and the flood came. So, the process of restoration began with Abraham. God spoke to him. I want you to pay attention here because we are looking at intimacy. This is so key in our relationship with our God. When you are relating with God and there is no personal relationship, you are relating to him through another medium, there is no intimacy. And God does not design it for you. I want somebody to listen very and listen carefully. I want somebody to listen and listen attentively. Because God designed you and I to relate with him on personal level basis, not through another medium. Any relationship you are having that you have to pass through another medium before you get, there is no intimacy. Ma, if you must get information, please let me give her the mic. If you must get information now from your husband, now you have to pass through your neighbor or his brother. Though there is a relationship, is there an intimacy?
No.
That for you to get information, whatever you are looking for from your husband, and you have to pass through another medium. Is there an intimacy?
No.
Thank you. That means something is lacking. Please follow. So, now look at what happened. God began that process with Abraham. And look at what happened. When God called Abraham, he was with his family. Even though we are made to understand at the time that he was called among his kindred, his father must have been late by that time. But he still has siblings. At least he still has now his brother was still there. But when God called him, he called him alone. Alone. Personal. Personal. He paid attention. And God spoke to him directly, personal relationship, not through his father or sibling. It was because, now, that is Genesis chapter. God called him in Genesis chapter 12. If you read Genesis chapter 12, that is where God called Abraham. And God called him, leave your country. Go to a country where I will show you. I will make you this, I will make you that. And he began the relationship. My emphasis is that it was a personal. He did not speak to him through any other vessel, direct call. And he began to walk with him. And I want you to pay attention in verse 15. After this thing, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not. Somebody say, fear not. He has started walking with God. But God saw something in that relationship. And God has to reassure, I love you. I will do this for you. My love for you is second to none. I love you. So, but because of certain things, you remember how through fear, he had to lie. He had to lie that Sarah is not his wife. So God saw some things and God had to reassure him. He said, fear not. Even in verse 16, God has had the desire to give him a son. But because of doubt, that was why he had to. He did not wait patiently for that word of God to come to pass. Doubt, his walk with God was characterized Even though he loves God, he has fear. He has doubt in the word that God has spoken to him. And if these two are present in any relationship, there can never be intimacy. If you are in relationship, the relationship between you and your husband, and you are having fear, where there is fear, there is no trust, there is no faith. And that there can never be any intimacy. When your husband tells you something and you are doubting it, something is lacking. And that is why God has to caution him. Genesis chapter 17. Let's read Genesis chapter 17. And when Abraham was 99 years now, he was called when he was 17 years old. And the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, please pay attention to this statement. I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou. Walk before me and be thou perfect. The relationship before this time, that is what is described as that walk. It was relating with God. But it was not perfect. It was lacking intimacy. A relationship that is still, there was still doubt, there was still fear. And God asked to come and reassure him. Be perfect. And it is this 17 that he made the relationship. He had a covenant with him. So that he will have more trust. He will walk in more love, in knowledge. He will be devoted. But these are the ingredients of intimacy. Intimate relationship. To reassure him, to strengthen that relationship, God has to enter the covenant with him. If you read Genesis chapter 17, you see, he entered the covenant with him. I told you it is a process of restoration of intimacy, strong relationship with God. It is this covenant relationship that produced the nation of Israel. Praise the Lord. You know, he entered the covenant and he said his seed, you know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, how is, if you read that Genesis 17, the covenant had been entered into there, had been instituted. How his children too, 400 years. That was how the nation of Israel was born. And God related with them. Now, the point here, the God that Adam and Eve were having a very cool relationship with every day, they could enter his presence at any time. They could enter his presence at any time. They were talking to him. There was no barrier. Now, when sin has come, and the presence of God now is now very far. Now, even the nation of Israel, when it was born, to relate with God, God has to, there is now a temple, whereby even in the temple, we have three sections. There are places that can no longer be entered into. The Holy of Holies could only be entered by what? By what? By the high priest. What happens? They could not hear God directly. Is that an intimate relationship? Brethren, God speaking directly, speaking to Moses, and Moses will go and be interpreting or telling the children of God, the Israelites, their mind. It is not a perfect will of God. Praise the Lord. It was not a perfect will. It was a permissive will of God. His desire is what Adam and Eve enjoy. That personal level relationship. Whereby he talks to them. He hears them. They will enjoy. He speaks to them directly. It was that sin that now make God to be a bit as if it is too far from them. And God will now is now in the temple, he will speak to, there is now a what? An intermediary. Moses will now hear from God and will now go. It has never been the desire. Please follow me. It has never been the perfect will of God. It has never been what? Perfect will of God. Because it negates The ingredient or the principle of intimacy. Intimacy, there must be direct communication. There must be what? Direct communication. In a relationship whereby you hear from another party before you make certain decision, it has no intimacy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are we together? Please follow me. Now, how do you know that it was? How do you know that it was not even a perfect will of God? It's fulfilled its dispensation now. But in the process of God, I told you God is a God of agenda. He has his purpose. He has what he wants to desire. But how he goes about it, he goes it by programs. This is chapter 1, chapter 2, item 1. He fulfills his pattern. Praise the Lord. So when that dispensation by which Moses will speak and all the prophets, he will be speaking to them and they will interpret, when it has fulfilled the process or when the time has passed, what happened? So the covenant produced the nation of Israel. The presence of God that Adam and Eve were enjoying could no longer be entered by all except the high priest. This is a permissive will of God. That was why it had to be done away with. In the process of time, God has to come to restore this intimacy. Has to come through who? Through who? Through his son, Jesus, to restore. Let's read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. To restore that access that Adam and Eve were enjoying, that sin has brought barrier to, that sin has separated them from. Now Jesus Christ has come to remove the barrier. Hebrews 10, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Nobody, you come near this before that you die. No, we are still reading. We are reading too. By a new and living way, which he had consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. That was why when, it's okay, that was why when he died, after he died on the cross of Calvary, what happened? What happened in the temple? What happened in the temple? Let's read Matthew 51, 27 verse 51. The veil, that separation, that hindrance that had blocked the intimacy was destroyed. And behold, the veil, can you see? The limitation, the restriction of the temple was what? Rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rock rent. The barrier to intimacy, the restriction to that deep relationship with God was broken. It was never the perfect will of God that he will be speaking and for you to hear. That is idolatry. But God allowed you to fulfill the details that you I will get there. I have a son. My son, for him to hear me, he will have to. That means something is wrong with that relationship. It's wrong with his sonship. You have a wife. For your wife to hear you, you have to speak through. There might be relation, but I want to let you know there is no intimate relationship. And we are looking at the subject of what? Intimacy. Intimacy, the ingredient is there must be love. There must be knowledge, devotion, and trust. When these things are lacking, there is no intimacy. Praise the Lord. Now, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary actually annulled, brought an end to that era of, communicating to God through a vessel or a venue that they have to go to the temple. Even that's why Malachi chapter 3 verse 1. Are we there? Malachi chapter 3 verse 1. Let's read. Say, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, said the Lord. Who is that messenger? Who is that messenger? John the Baptist. So Jesus is the temple. Now, the relationship now is no longer in the temple. It's any your relationship now with God is through who? Lord Jesus Christ. It's through him. All worship, everything we are doing now is what? It's through him. It's through who? Only Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. The only mediator, let's take it. It is God that came. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. Said there is only one mediator. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Can we read? There is one God. And what? One mediator between God and man. The man who? Jesus Christ. This place did not say there is Mary. It did not say there is Mary. It said there is only one mediator. Whose name? The Lord Jesus Christ. And who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? God in his Son. God in the flesh. For the purpose of redemption. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Intimacy. That is what God desires. And that is what he started with. Sin put a stop to it. And that is what is restoring through the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we progressing? And when Christianity started, it started with intimacy. It started with what? Intimacy, deep relationship. You call on God, he hears you directly. No medium. You call on him, he relates to you. Because in Christianity, God that they were seeking for in the temple, where is God now? Where is God now? Where is God now? It's in you. Jesus Christ was going, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. Say, the Holy Ghost will come and dwell with you. Personal relationship. The God that Adam and Eve were enjoying at the beginning. Having cool, evening cool relationship with. That sin scattered that relationship that they could not come close to. They have to go through the high priest. That same God now is now dwelling inside of us. For what? For intimacy. For what? For intimacy. Close relationship. Praise the Lord. Now, Christianity is about intimate relationship with God. It is not religion. It is a religion that you'll be told, oh, this is also God. And this is the time he came. They will be telling you stories about that God. This is how he has led his people. But you don't have personal relationship with him. That is about other gods, other religions. Matthew 28, verse 11. Matthew 11, 28. It's a popular scripture. Let's read it for emphasis. Can you see? Which God is a relationship? Come unto me. Come unto me. This is about relationship now. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will what? I will give you rest. I don't know other religions or other gods that will give this assurance. Many of them, they have eyes. They don't see. They have ears. They don't hear. But this one, whatever he says, what does he do?
He does it. It's not the God of the bars that the prophet of bars they were calling upon from morning to the night, and he did not hear. And Elijah started making mockery of them. Call. Maybe he's sleeping. Maybe he has traveled. That is not our God. The God that we serve is a God that when you call upon, he answers. That is intimacy. When you call him, he answers you. Christianity started with that intimate walk with him. He said, call. And when they come, he gives. Does he give rest? When he calls you and you answer him, does he give you rest? That is a relationship. John 14:14. Look at it. That what he is calling, it is only a relationship that has to do with intimate relationship that talks about intimacy that you can find it. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. Is it an empty promise? When you ask him, does he not do it? This is about relationship, not just the deep relationship. Now, when Christianity started, and Christ has gone, has paid the price, the work that he did, that he came to do, he committed it into the disciples. And they were having a very serious intimacy with him. Look at Acts chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. That's a, I'm driving at somewhere. It is not, because what we are sharing is so key if your relationship or your Christianity will be fruitful. If your Christianity will have evidence that you are actually walking with God, there must be intimacy. When your relationship with God lacks intimacy, so many things will go wrong with your Christian life. So many things. That is why you need to pay attention. Now look at this. Now Peter, this is after, shortly after Jesus has left and has sent them to the world. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. See what happened. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Please, hold it there. Remember he has told them in John before he left. John 14:14. This is how you will know that it is about relationship. When your husband promises you something and he doesn't keep his promise, is there an intimacy? Now, who seen Peter and John about to go into the temple? Ask and arms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Verse 5. And he gave it unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Verse 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And what happened? Did he deny them? Because he has promised them. And what happened? And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankles bone received strength. Promise fulfilled. Ask. I will answer. Ask, I will answer. And they ask, he answered them. The prophet of Baal, they were calling from morning to evening. Did he answer? Brethren, we are going somewhere. If you are calling, and there seem not to be answer, check your intimacy. If you are calling, and he did not answer, check your intimacy. We will get there. We are driving somewhere. And the purpose of this teaching, it will be achieved in our life in the name of Jesus Christ. I said it will be achieved in our life in the name of Jesus Christ. Look at it. There was intimate relationship with God. Let's read Acts 4:29. When they were shaking everywhere with signs and wonders, The Lord was moving mightily with them, and they could see his manifest presence around them. The world, they were getting threatened. And now see what happened. And now, Lord, after they have been threatened that they should not preach in his name, and the enemies of the gospel came. And Lord, behold their threatening, and grant unto thy servant that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Verse 30. And what happened? By stretching forth thy hand to he, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy only child Jesus. What happened immediately? Next verse. And when they had prayed, the place was shaking where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God, with what? Boldness. What they asked for, they received it. That is intimacy. Communication, direct communication. Direct communication. They trusted in what he has told. What he has told them. And they believed it. And when they acted on it, it never failed. Intimacy. But the devil knows that when the people of God are having intimate relationship with God, he knew he could not stop them. He knew the danger to his kingdom that intimate relationship with their God poses to his kingdom. But because when you are in intimate relationship with God, direct communication, you are devoted to him, you trust his word, he knows he can, he knows. He knows nothing can stop you. He knows. He knows the power in working in intimate relationship with God. And what happened? See the attacks. Attack on Christianity to remove intimacy. And the attacks are still on today. And that is why this teaching is so important. So that you know what to watch out for. The attack. Once your intimacy with God is removed, you become a religious person. And no religious person can please God. And no religious person has evident fruits of Christianity. They just say you are a Christian. You don't become a nominal Christian. Nothing to show. Nothing to show. I'm not talking about material things now. You say you are having intimate relationship with God. The presence of God is so much around you. Where is wish? Where is a wizard that can come near you? Intimate relationship. Devil knows the power of working in intimate relationship with God. And he does everything to fight it. God himself yearns for it. That was why he corrected Abraham. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And he saw the flaws in his relationship with God. You saw it. And after that time, you saw how he was enjoying intimate relationship. Praise the Lord. So see what happened. See what the devil did. To remove that intimacy. You know, it has always been one God. God can, Isaiah 42, verse 8. God cannot share his glory with any man. He cannot. It's only one God. Now, when I am the Lord, that is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. That was why God warned the people of Israel. I am the Lord. The Lord God is what? Is one. It's what? Is one. Now, when Christianity immediately began and it was threatening every kingdom, and the prince of the air, the devil, the ruler of darkness, they could not contain them. What happened? Christianity married to the world. You know what happened in AD 325? You know what happened? The Christianity, the original gospel that the apostles started, what happened? Got married with the world. And what is produced? Hybridized Christianity using Babylon. Produce abidized Christianity through Babylon and his daughters. I believe I'm not speaking mysteries. We all know who the Babylon is. Do we know? Do we know? It was the one. And when that marriage took place, intimacy was removed. How did he achieve it? The one God was broken into what? Was broken into what? And that produced what? Idolatry. And it said, Isaiah 48, by the time you have three gods, three persons in one God, the glory has been shared. And it is the way of idolatry. Every idolater, they don't always have one God. I'm a Yoruba man. They will have the God of Shango. They will be loyal to that one. The God of Ogun. The God of Oya. Now, where will intimacy come from? When you are married to different gods, you can't have the same intimacy with all of them. There will be one that will be more loyal to. And God desire absolute intimacy with you. You and you alone. Praise the Lord. So, when he got married, and what are the effects? The only true God, one God, was broken into three. Trinity. See how the intimacy was. The intimacy that God desires, yearns for. Not for his own personal benefit, it's for your own benefit. Because he knows everything that he has in stock for you to enjoy, is wrapped in your intimacy with him. You see, his secret, when we get to these blessings of being intimate or walking in intimacy with God, you will understand. Now, Trinity, this is the effect. The one true God that they are supposed. Let's take Matthew 22, verse 27. Matthew, to see how God. Okay. And the last of all. Okay, let's take Mark 12, 30. Say almost the same thing. Mark 12, 30. That is talking about, you shall love thy God with the whole of your heart. Okay, this is it. And it's also repeated in Matthew 22. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God. With what? With what? Please, no, the topic is about intimacy. This is, if you can't catch intimacy from this statement that God desires. Say, and thou shalt love that. Before now, let's take it from 29. God asks, what is the greatest? Let's read it from 29. 28. They ask him what? And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Verse 29. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. This has already contradicted Trinity. And God gave this commandment for one reason, for you to have intimacy. Because the moment you begin to have your fellowship with different gods, your heart has been taken away from him. And it's to your own peril, the danger of not having absolute deep connection with your God or your Savior. And verse 30, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? Is it with some? All thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. If this thing is repeated in that Matthew 22, I don't know whether it's 27. And with all thy strength, everything, absolute devotion. That is what he yearns. And it's not for his own selfishness. It's for your own good. Anything you want from him is wrapped in keeping these two commandments. Absolute loyalty. Total consecration to him as only true God. Not having or having faith or trusting in any other thing aside him. And total submission to his lordship. That is intimacy. Okay, but the attacks now, Christianity was married to the world, and that brought about hybridized Christianity, the one that we see, that the Christianity presented to us that we came out from. It is Christianity, not the original gospel. That Christianity that is only, Ephesians makes it clear, only one God. Now, what is, after it has been married, it is the hybridized Christianity that made us now, instead of having direct, when we pray to God directly, we now have different medium. They say you must go through who? You must go through who? By the time you are passing through another medium, outside the name of Jesus Christ, your intimacy is already gone. Praise the Lord. Your intimacy is what? In fact, by the time you are passing through another medium, you are already an idolater. You are already who? An idolater. Because the only one medium is what? Is Jesus. And now, the daughters, we know all that the daughters are they protested out of her. They came out, and you know, he has gathered them back now. You know his daughters. And what has his daughters done? The Bible made provision for fivefold ministry. That is what we see clearly in the Bible. But his daughters, they are not promoting fivefold ministry. What are they promoting? What are they promoting? And you know the danger. It is an arrangement of the devil to remove intimacy. You know how he does it? Raise one man, and before you know it, the man will be deified. And through him, you'll be thinking you will hear from God. Please, this is the danger of one man ministry. The Bible makes it so clear that God in this dispensation will lead his people by what? By the fivefold ministry. But the daughters of the Babylon, I have set aside the fivefold ministry. They are promoting one man. What it means, what it means is, it's an arrangement to take that, your loyalty, your intimacy from God. You know why? By the time that man is promoted and projected, you see him as a medium by which God speaks to you. Meanwhile, the direct relationship that God wants to have with you is being destroyed. And once you don't build that direct relationship, that intimacy, I'm telling you, your Christianity can never be fruitful. Praise the Lord. Your Christianity can never be fruitful because it is through fivefold ministry. You know, God speaks through elites, but you yourself have personal relationship. Even through, that is the danger from the daughters. What about the end time message? The one that many of us came out from. The devil also came in and promoted that you cannot, that the gifts has also died with William Harold Brown. That you, he died with the gifts, that when you hear things now, the Holy Ghost is no more speaking, that he has died. That one is under attack because direct fellowship relationship with God is being removed. It's being what? It's being removed. God cherishes intimacy. You hearing from him, communicating with him, and obeying him, trusting him, following him, that direct communication, intimacy, God yearns and longs for it. And that is what he expects. And everything that wants to fight against it, you should do everything to fight it. We look at the different levels of intimacy. We look at what connotes intimate work with God. We also look at the blessings so that you know how to guide your intimacy with God. And God will give all the grace to understand the essence of this teaching in the name of Jesus Christ. Bow down your head and begin to talk to the Lord.
In Jesus' name we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. You have come to worship the Lord. Use your hand and let him know. Let him know. Let him know. Let him know.